Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
And now in Gainesville to watch Anthony Richardson throw it around.
I love the fact that he can make some hard things look easy, but he really also makes easy things look really hard.
You think about using Jalen Hurts as the blueprint, Shane Steichen certainly can take what he learned and think about, okay, how can I craft an offense with an athlete like this at the helm?
With Anthony Richardson in the gun and you've got Jonathan Taylor in the side saddle and you're going to run some zone read stuff, you can put a lot of pressure on defenses.
Maybe it's ugly at the beginning, but maybe down the line he becomes a player that can help us win a ton of games in the race.
And then he stuck the landing on the backflip. Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks with a little insight there and what the future could hold for Florida's Anthony Richardson. He is a quarterback that has pro day yesterday as we welcome you inside Good Morning Football live in New York City. Happy Friday, everybody. The final day in March. I'm Jamie Erdahl, Kyle Brandt, Jason McCourty, and of course, Sean O'Hara back at the table. Sean, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Sorry, I couldn't provide the backflip that Anthony Richardson
never done one.
Never done one. Mm-hmm. In a pool, but like not
sure.
On.
Oh, in,
yeah.
I didn't
yeah,
stick
yeah.
a landing. That's for damn
ball
sure.
Pit, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, ball
pit.
Totally.
Let me tell you what you did wrong there. You over-rotated.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's right.
Time for the lead block.
Lead block.
As you all know, especially if you were watching on NFL Plus, which of course you were, coaches and scouts descended upon Gainesville, Florida yesterday to watch Anthony Richardson put on a show at the Gators Pro Day. Our very own Tom Pelissero and Steve Smith Sr. caught up with Richardson after his workout.
Anthony, it looked like you were having fun out there. How'd you feel about your pro day?
I definitely have fun. You know, whenever there's a football in my hands, it's always fun for me. So I just had to showcase that and who I am as a person out there. So it was definitely fun.
Man, Anthony, you had an opportunity to just show everybody what you could do. It seemed effortless to throw the football. Man, take us through this process, what it's been like since you drug my University of Utah Utes through the mud. And since then, you've just been ascending ever since.
You know, I've just been working. At times, I was very inconsistent throughout the season. You know, so I was just trying to put that behind me, you know, trying to stay consistent because I know inconsistency is not going to work at the next level. Mm. So I've just been grinding at that, just trying to, you know, perfect my craft and perfect who I am as a person. And coming out here, showcasing what I'm able to do. You know, I'm a natural thrower, you know, so just being out there launching the ball and just tossing around with my brothers, you know, that's just what we normally do.
Last thing for you. You had dinner last night with the Raiders. How was that process with them, and did you break it to them that you might not be there at number 7?
I'm not that confident, you know. I'm just thankful for the opportunity, you know. Lord knows what's going to happen April 27th. I'm just ready to get there and just living the moment. But the dinner was great, you know, talking to the guys and getting to know them and them getting to know me as a person, as a player, you know, and just trying to figure out the expectations in case they were to draft me, you know, what they expect from me as a rookie and what they're going to expect from me in the building, you know. So just trying to get familiarized with that stuff and just live on.
4 weeks away, man. 4 weeks from today.
Yeah.
Best of luck to you. Thanks a lot for the time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, we have pro days in the books for all four of the top quarterback prospects, depending on how you define top. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis, and then Anthony Richardson yesterday. He got to sit down with those guys. That was an interesting conversation. Jay, takeaways, how you digest not only the dinner that Anthony Richardson had, but his performance yesterday.
Yeah, something Daniel Jeremiah said. He said he makes the hard things look easy. And then Steve Smith followed up and said it looked effortless out there. And then Anthony Richardson followed and said, live in the moment. Those are some key terms for me because I look at franchises, general managers, head coaches. When you see a guy with this level of talent and you see him just flicking his wrist and the ball just traveling 50, 60 yards, you heard him even talk about that he has some inconsistencies that he wants to work on and get better from. But for head coaches and offensive guys, they see somebody like him and you see a lump of clay that you can mold and build into the quarterback that you feel like will be the future leader of your franchise and be one of the best in the NFL. So, yeah, there are things in his game that you'll say, all right, you can put these other guys above him. But I think teams are going to look at him and say, my goodness, the ceiling is so high. I've played with guys where you see him go up and make a catch over five different guys and then they run a hitch route and the ball hits him in the hands and almost looks like they're batting it down on purpose. But you stick with those guys because they have the wow plays. They have the ones that can get you out of a tight situations, and they're the type of guys that bring fans to the stadium. So when I look at Anthony Richardson, his athleticism, how he looked on pro days, rolling to his left and literally just on the jog, throws the ball effortlessly down the field, I think he's going to have a team that's going to see him, believe in him, and say, hey, you know what? This isn't the kid that we can put out there right there on day one, but man, we get some time with him, we can mold him and build him into a franchise quarterback that'll lead us for the future.
Jay, you said something in there that the ceiling is so high for this guy. How poignant that is the phrase you're using. We use that so much in football. And for those of you that did not watch this, for whatever reason, you were doing something else, you weren't on NFL Plus, and you did not see what Anthony Richardson did. He hit the ceiling. Mm-hmm. He hit the roof.
Already?
In a building down in Florida, not only did he hit the roof, I mean, he drilled a thing with a football. Now, for those of you that might say, and they haven't seen any of this, all right, this was an accident, they did not mean to do this. Oh, no, he meant to do this. He actually came out and said Will Levis did it at his pro day. So now this is like a thing. And I just thought it was such an interesting metaphor that we all use in football with this. This guy hits the roof, and he does it with the Jordan logo on the wall. Michael Jordan, of course, coined the phrase, the ceiling is the roof, at a North Carolina basketball game. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I thought he delivered. You want to ask Anthony Richardson to be the final quarterback throwing the final pro day, he delivered, just like Jordan, right? I don't think there is a roof for this kid. And I think that if you're a team right now and you're looking at this kid and you see everything he just did, the pressure was on him for this pro day, the last one, it was an exclamation point, not just what he did, but with the backflip at the end. I also want to just add this real quick. We've been talking about these quarterbacks. We've been talking about size, right? This guy's not big enough. He's not tall enough. Yes, he's not strong enough. I mean, this guy is built for this. Like, that's why how you can do a backflip right there. This quarterback, look, he's not going to get broken in the third hit of the season, third week of the season. So as much as we're focusing on guys' physical capabilities as we lead up to this draft at the quarterback position, I think we've got to pay respect to Anthony Richardson and what he's bringing to the table.
You're talking about Michael Jordan and Carolina. Maybe Anthony Richardson will move to Carolina in a few months. We don't know. I know he didn't do anything yesterday to hurt that. He didn't lay an egg. He didn't drop the ball. He didn't say, oh, bad throw, release point. Blah blah blah. Let's get to the main event here. Give me the flip. Just start rolling it. Let me see Anthony Richardson at the end of the workout. Guys, Anthony Richardson is 6'4". He's 244 pounds. He runs the 40-yard dash in 4.43 seconds. I think of somebody like DK Metcalf. You know, is his hips are a little high coming out of his routes. Shut up. Look at him. Do you want him on your team? Yes. Do you do? Good. Because Pete Carroll decided bring him in here. Now Anthony Richardson, a quarterback. Sit him for a little bit, do a little work. I just want that explosion. And I just want someone to say, we know his starts are limited and we know those other guys are great. We want the ceiling. We're not hitting a double. We're not hitting a triple. We're hitting a 500-footer. Anthony Richardson is going to flip right into our franchise. That's what I want. He didn't do anything to mess that up yesterday. It's on. Game on.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was a show. The backflip in particular and the cinematic excellence that you just produced there
moving.
Was tremendous. I feel a moral obligation, though, to have a proverbial pin to the balloon that everyone is.
No!
I know. Tread carefully here with Anthony Richardson. How high is too high of a pick before he is going to have his name called at wherever? You all just pretty much admitted that he has to not start week one. How high is too high of a pick before week four, five, six comes around? What did we spend this pick on if we're not going to have this guy? Put him out there. And then it doesn't go well because he's not prepared because you haven't molded your ball of clay yet. You haven't had the time with him yet. You're too busy getting your other starter prepared for games. You haven't had a full offseason, a full training camp. He hasn't had 9 months to watch other professionals go to work. How high is too high before this young man is put into a situation that he is not prepared for? He is physically gifted. He also has played 24 college football games. He started 13 of those. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I want to just wane caution on this person who I hope he's electric. I hope he has an unbelievable career. But I do not want him to go to Seattle and have Geno Smith have a wonky 4 weeks, and then all of a sudden he's out there and he doesn't. Well, wait. Now the Seahawks, it makes me nervous. Ryan Leaf was here this week talking about the same thing, tempering expectations for Anthony Richardson. I'm so thrilled for him. Yesterday I asked, I just want you to show consistency because that's a thing that people don't know about.
Jamie, I appreciate that you're handing out, seatbelts for all of us right now. Hey, put this on. Don't forget the sunscreen.
Yep.
You mentioned Ryan Leaf. How fitting. Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning. There was all this discussion about these guys coming out. He goes to the Chargers, right? And I think to your point, it's not when he goes, but where he goes that will be so important and significant for his growth and his development. Look, you go to the Houston Texans, your head coach, D'Amico Ryans. I mean, everybody's thrilled about this, but – all right, he's not going to be working with that quarterback. So do you want to go with somebody like a Shane Steichen or somebody who can help groom this kid? That's why not when, but where it may be more important for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think to your point, the where part is going to a franchise where they're comfortable, where if the fans are clamoring for an Anthony Richardson to be put in because of a Gardner Minshew is struggling in Indianapolis, that we're saying, no, we have a plan. We're going to sit him. We're going to let him develop. To your point, we don't want to just draft him and throw him out there. So I do agree with you in the precautions of we loved him at his pro day. We knew we would. Backflips in the whole nine. Yeah. But let's not draft him high up the board and say, all right, let's just roll him out there week one and just see what he does. No, let's protect him to what Leaf always says. Let's develop him before we put him out there and throw him to the Wolves.
Have the guts to say no at week absolutely four, five, and six and say he's not ready yet, and that's okay. But, man, sometimes those picks are too high to not have that volume get cranked up real loud. For all the people that care. Oh, we know how much you love this word, Kyle. Let's play this game. Blockbuster.
Let's do it.
Or lackluster. Wordplay aplenty. Okay. I'm going to tee up a statement and you're going to agree. You'll answer either blockbuster or disagree. And then you're going to say lackluster and give us a why.
Okay.
First off, in an interview with NFL.com, Panthers safety Jeremy Chinn was asked about the competition in the NFC South, which is his home division. Said, we have an opportunity to win this division. It's wide open. Blockbuster or lackluster? The NFC South is going to look different, but they are the most wide open division heading into 2023. Mm. Blockbuster, Jay, or lackluster?
Can I go with neither one of them and just say, who cares? I mean, after we watched what we saw last year from the NFC South, it is wide open, but who cares? That's not a division. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat waiting to see who's going to come out at the top of the division. Derek Carr is now in New Orleans. That's a beautiful thing. Let's see what happens. I am more focused on the AFC North. Okay. I want to see the competition over there. Yes, Joe Burrow is returning for the Cincinnati Bengals, but Deshaun Watson now, he's year two in Cleveland. Does he get a little bit more of his magic back of when he was playing in Houston and was one of the better quarterbacks in the league? Lamar Jackson for the Baltimore Ravens, does he remain there? And if he does, that puts them right in contention with the Cincinnati Bengals. And then there's the young guy out there in Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett. What kind of growth can he have in year two? This is a division that I'm looking forward to watching because these quarterbacks in this division can put on hell of performances week in and week out. You guys can have the NFC South.
Go ahead. Wow, nice use of,
did you say hella?
I like it. Yeah. That's hella good. Yeah.
Is that a Jamie Erdahl term?
I should not be using it as much as I do. Go ahead, Sean.
It's like a Central California term. You're from Jersey. You're from Minnesota. You guys say hella?
Yeah. I'm trying to be a chameleon of all sorts.
Oh, good.
A television chameleon.
I like it.
Yeah.
Nice.
I feel like I'm going to butcher this whole blockbuster, lackluster thing. So blockbuster, we agree with this, right?
Yes.
The NFC South is wide open.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, I absolutely agree with it. And I kind of feel like the NFC South, like when I look at them, I feel like in divisions in the NFL, they are like the cousin that you have to pick at the kickball tournament out on the playground. And it's like, man, their family, like we kind of got to choose. Like, I got to have
you that
team.
Cousin?
The NFC South is the last kid picked for kickball. All right. I'm sorry. Take a look at it. They have no star power. So, yeah, I think this division is wide open because if it wasn't for Derek Carr, we wouldn't even be talking about the quarterbacks in that division.
That's rough. That's a good
start. The lackluster of star power down here in the NFC South right now. I know Pro Bowls, everybody. Look, Snoop Huntley went to one.
it's not, you know, the Pro Bowl is not what it used to be. I mean, really, the biggest thing takeaway from the Pro Bowl this year was the fact that Kyle wore the same jacket 3 days in a row. And Derek Carr annihilated the skills department. But from a star power standpoint, the NFC South, yeah, I mean, sure, it's wide open. And you know what? Nobody really cares.
That was no surprise. You wore the same shirt for 3 days in London.
Oh, yeah. That's just what I did.
No shame.
That jacket killed.
It looked good.
And in Vegas, too. I mean, why? Yeah.
Blockbuster or lackluster? Are we talking about the topic or the – I'm sorry. The AFC South, I think, doesn't do a ton for me. You know what's crazy about the AFC South is, like, the headliner is the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, my gosh, the Jags. And they've earned it. And they could otherwise. It's like the Colts have become the senior tour for quarterbacks. The Texans willingly gave away the number one overall pick. And the Titans are like, are we still doing this Tannehill thing? Like, we had it's just rough. It's a rough year. So if you're looking at the headliner being the Jaguars, that's something that might be able
Waffle
to
House.
Be, yes. And I look, I love Jacksonville, and I love the Jaguars. That was awesome. It was really cool eating the playoffs last year. But you won a playoff game where your quarterback threw, like, 12 interceptions in the first half. And that was because of the Chargers. So I think it's AFC South.
I'm going lackluster as well. I had to listen to really come up with the division that I knew was going to defend the take. And after all week hanging with these Lions players, I'm going to go NFC North. I'm going to go without a quarterback that we have known and loved in the NFC North to talk about. You don't have to necessarily love him. With him gone, Minnesota curious defensively, a change of defensive coordinator. We'll see if they can win games in January. The Lions, everyone's high on the Lions right now. The Bears have these picks and Justin Fields. And the commitment and Ryan Poles is doing unbelievable. I'm going to go NFC North with this one. But I really like the newfound category of I just don't care.
Jason said it.
I just don't care. All right, Mike McCarthy says Dak Prescott has been working hard to clean up his mistakes. Will it pay off? Clean up an aisle four. That's funny. Imparanumerophobia.
I'm going to step off. I'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to do
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Good morning, football.
Hi, I'm Will Sullivan. Welcome back to Good Morning Football. And White House visits usually are limited to Super Bowl winning teams, but Bills safety DeMar Hamlin, well, he got that special honor on Thursday. President Biden tweeting out this photo as he met with Hamlin in the Oval Office, saying Hamlin's courage, resilience, and spirit inspired the American people. Hamlin replied to the tweet saying the conversation was invaluable. Well, in other news, former Bucs safety Keanu Neal agreeing to terms on a two-year deal to join the Steelers. Neal, a former first-round pick, will look to replace another first-rounder in Terrell Edmonds, who signed with the Eagles this offseason. Last season, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott threw 15 picks in just 12 games, tied for the most in the league with Davis Mills. At the league meeting this week, head coach Mike McCarthy sat down with NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero and said Dak is putting emphasis on fixing these mistakes.
He talked about taking care of the ball. The turnover numbers were up for him. How does he get back to playing at peak Dak level?
Well, I just think like anything, it's, you know, we all spend so much time on the decision-making process and, you know, the responsibility in each decision. You know, it's all been identified. We've actually had a chance to already sit down and watch the, you know, the interception tape really from the last 3 years and just go back through it and just, you know, just make sure that the communication between, you know, Dak, Brian, Scott, and myself is clear. We're playing the way we want to play, but, you know, our action game improved last year, and we like to continue to improve in that area. But, you know, situationally, we've been strong. But as a whole, number one goal for offense is we got to take better care of the football.
And Dak will now be working with new OC, Brian Schottenheimer, and Jamie and Guys. He'll also be working with the new quarterback coach in Scott Tolzien to try to cut down on those picks.
Yeah, well, here's hoping, because the question marks always seem to surround Mike McCarthy and how he handles Dak Prescott and just his how he handles the nature of this offense. He's made a change now, an offensive coordinator in Dallas, and recently, as Dak Prescott said, spent 4 hours with his quarterback. So how can this change? How much faith do we have that Mike McCarthy can be the guy that makes the change and get Dak going in the right direction?
Yeah, I have some faith in McCarthy, and I think I even have faith in Dak Prescott himself. The guy hurt his thumb in the first game of the season and had thumb surgery on his right hand as a quarterback and then went out and played in the final 12 games. So, yes, he threw 15 interceptions, and I know throughout his career, 4 out of 6 seasons where he's played in majority of the games other than when he hurt his leg, he's thrown double-digit interceptions. So I don't think this is something to be like, oh, my goodness, Dak Prescott had this awful year and he's only going down from here. I think he picks himself up off the mat, and I think he makes some improvements going into next year. And Mike McCarthy, I think there's a lot of question marks, but I do have some faith in him moving forward and his ability to kind of get Dak going. You don't want to see your name up there with Davis Mills and Derek Carr, both guys who are going to have replacement quarterbacks for their franchise this year.
As I look at that screen, I'm thinking to myself, why are we worried about 15 here? Like, 15 interceptions to me is not an awful season. Like, yeah, okay, it's most interceptions league.
Yeah.
The fact that he missed 5 games, I get all that stuff. I'm trying not to go full Erdahl here with the wet blanket on this discussion.
All right.
When I look at Dak Prescott, look, I don't have an issue with the interceptions. You have 15 interceptions, fine. You threw the ball almost 400 times. Like, it happens, but it's when the interceptions happen. Like, you had 2 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It can't be at the end of the game. The problem with the Cowboys is not the fact that they throw 2 interceptions or have bad plays in the first half. It's how they finish. You could throw 3 interceptions in a football game. We just talked about it with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And throw a game-winning touchdown at the end of the game. They forget about the interception. But it's what you do at the end. So if Mike McCarthy, it's like, hey, look, we want to take care of the football. Yeah, every quarterback wants to do that. Every coach is working on that. It's how do we finish the games? That's great what point. We got to do.
That's a great take, Sean, because all Cowboys conversations kind of lead to the same place for me. It's just like, let's just fast forward to the end of the season and see what you guys do. I know you're going to be good. Yeah. I know you're going to put up points. I know you're going to win a certain amount of games. What happens at the end? And I feel like in terms of having faith in McCarthy and Dak, I look at those two guys so similarly in their respective professions. Like, they're both very good. Are they the best in the league? No. Are they ever going to be? No. But they're not average. They're good. Yeah. It's just like this constant kind of B to B plus performance as a coach, as a quarterback, and over and over and over. So it's like they're kind of meant for each other. Now, listen, to be fair, the coordinator changed, the quarterback coach changed. Sure, maybe that ejects them. But at some point, when someone tells you who they are over and over, believe them. There's no like 8th year jump. It's not like we took that big 3rd year leap. Like, McCarthy and Dak have been together for 3 seasons. It doesn't work that way, that like when you hit this age, finally, They've been telling us over and over and over, this is who we are, this is who we're never going to be, and maybe we can try to win with it. So far, they haven't. Hopefully, this is the year.
And you have to imagine that the more glaring that becomes, the more it grinds Jerry Jones's gears, because he wants the answer and he wants to figure it out in a different way. And again, if you want a different outcome, you have to stop doing things the way that you
are. I'm saying. You might not believe this because we do 15 hours a week right here at the breakfast table, but somehow there are some discussions that end up getting on the cutting room floor. Now, in television production, when you take a topic and decide to push it away, Jason McCourty, what is that called?
Float it.
You float it.
I just learned that.
That's right. Float it. This is Jason's rookie year. You're almost finishing up in television. Yeah. You're the rookie of the year, if you ask me. But floating. Floating. Not deleted, not saved for later. What is it one more time, Jason?
Floated.
Floated. It's a beautiful phrase, actually. And you won't believe this, but we floated some topics earlier in the week to make it easy on our production staff to come up with stuff for us to talk about. So we're going to call a new segment. What is it? Floated to Friday. First up, Jalen Ramsey has a new home. We know he's going to be a Miami Dolphin. Last three seasons in L.A. earlier this week, Sean McVay was asked about Jalen Ramsey, who used to play for his team, who's now playing with McVay's good friend Mike McDaniels in Miami. And McVay, sitting there at the breakfast table with the pomade, had this to say.
It'll be great. You know, it's funny. When I talked to Jalen after he had spoken with Mike, Jalen said, you know, Mike told me that he'll be the best head coach that he ever played for. And I said he might be that, but he'll definitely be the weirdest. That's for sure. Mike's the best, though.
I wish you could hear Jason McCourty during sounds and commercial breaks. He says stuff that he won't say here. He just said something he would never say here. Mike McDaniel is definitely unique. He's eccentric. He's one of a kind, entertaining personality. Which NFL player or coach, guys, do you just straight up find the most fascinating?
I am going with Juju Smith-Schuster, and I find him fascinating. I find him being in New England even more fascinating. We saw him in Pittsburgh come in and take off, and he became kind of a TikTok dancer. He was doing the Corvette in the middle of the field before games, and after AB left the team, it was just like, what is this Juju Smith-Schuster guy doing? Then he goes to Kansas City, and it's all business for him. Just week in and week out, you don't hear anything from him. They win the Super Bowl, and then he erupts again. The Valentine's Day tweet against Bradbury about the holding and all of that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now he's in New England. Will he get Bill Belichick to do a TikTok dance if they win a Super Bowl in New England?
You tell
us. I'm sitting here and I'm like, I think Bill would do it. I think
Super Bowl only.
Yeah, Super Bowl only. Get him right on the sideline, film a TikTok dance, let him do some dancing in it. I think he's all in.
What about RKK?
RKK. His chains on. He can't wait for it. Oh, 100%. Just make the playoffs and RKK is all in.
We'll get a wild card and he'll do it.
Oh, loving it.
Belichick doing the little Uzi on TikTok.
Nice.
That would
get the hits
great.
In it.
Juju's number nine kind of looked awkward. That was a different segment. I think when I'm looking at something that I just can't stop staring at and I can't find myself like wrapping my head around the entire package is Joe Burrow, right? Some people call him Joe Cool or Joe Burrow because he's icy and he's got ice in his veins. His game day outfits, I feel like every time, it's a slam dunk. He nails it. And I'm like, anybody else wears that? They look like Snow and the Informer. You know, anybody else wears that jacket?
Sam likes potatoes.
Anybody else wears that jacket? It's like, what is he wearing? But when Joe wears it, he rocks it.
Yes.
And I feel like every single time I drive a game, there's the class right there. Hey, I thought they were cool. Do you like them? Joe Burrow can do no wrong. And down in Cincinnati, he's got the cigar, the stogie, everything Joe Burrow does on and off the field. It's pretty electric. It's kind of like you and Jimmy G.
Sort of like that, yes. That's R-rated, though. Jamie Erdahl, who do you think find most R-rated. Fascinating?
What was happening here with Aaron Rodgers this year? What was happening with Aaron Rodgers' hair? I'm going to start and finish with this hair that I cannot get over. I have so much hair today. Ashley, I'm so sorry I put this hat on. This was like the most distracting thing about the entire NFL season. The no hair and then the side piece coming out the side of the hat. That was just the start of it.
Yeah.
Then he goes on a tea journey. He's on podcasts talking about his darkness retreat. He actually goes on a darkness retreat. He commits to the cause. I mean, I applaud that man for being a fodder, but weird, fascinating. This man is leader in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Hair, do, and all.
Mm-hmm.
It never made sense to me. It frustrates me. I feel like he does it on purpose, and it's actually hard to accomplish, so I know he does it on purpose.
Yeah, you were in training camp, right? You went Nick Cage?
Yeah, sure. We've all been had one of those in-between haircuts. Not you, Jason, but like
I was about to say,
you kind of grow it out. And it was a very strange period.
It was, yeah.
The Aaron Rodgers movie is coming out at some point.
Why
right?
was it coming up to the side at all times?
I don't know. Everything was weird about the divorce, including the haircut. Right?
What is happening?
I don't know.
It never made sense.
We'll find those suckers.
Yeah.
Yep. What do you got?
Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Not John. Jim. Picture it's 1991 in the north suburbs of Chicago, and a 12-year-old kid, me, was at Daniel Wright Junior High School, and they say, one of the Chicago Bears is coming to talk to the school.
Wow.
Like, oh, this is so cool, it's so cool. And it's the star quarterback. Jim Harbaugh comes to my school. We sit all down, and, it's like you're in the auditorium or whatever. I kid you not. Jim Harbaugh gets up, and he starts talking about how to take a snap from a center. And, Sean, this is wheelhouse for you.
Yes.
He tells this group of children that what you really need to do is you take your knuckle, and then he got anatomical about where you put it. And we all were laughing. I'm looking at the teachers, and they're like, and I was like, Jim, are you out of your mind? They said, there's fifth graders here. But that was just him, like, to beat of his own drummer. And I badly, badly want him back in the NFL. Because the funny thing is, like, John is, like, totally straight-laced and normal. He doesn't do any of that stuff. He's just a professional and a leader and a coach. And then Jim is just a wild one.
Are you serious right
Dead
now?
Dead serious.
Were you the kid that now went and tried it and was trying to take snaps from under center?
Oh, I was the center.
I snapped at him. Jim, he did it to me.
Physically.
Yes.
On what team? What do you mean?
I was coming out of college. I was training down in Florida, and I'm working out, and I wanted to be a center. And they said, "Hey, Jim Harbaugh lives down the street. We're gonna have him come to the workout tomorrow. Yeah. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
And just hey, maybe you could take some snaps and work on snapping to a quarterback."
Yeah.
I said, "Yeah, sure, fine. That sounds great. Jim Harbaugh, of course. I knew
Look
who he
out.
Was." He shows up in a golf cart, right? He's wearing flip-flops, and I'm like, this guy, he rolled out of bed, had a cup of coffee, and he's like, hey, yeah, so I heard you want to take some snaps. All right, here we go. Let's go. Get right into it. And next thing I know, Jim Harbaugh's all in. Like, he's very friendly, and it was a shotgun. I mean, he went hard count a couple times. Literally 10 minutes. And he's like, all right, hey, good luck to you. Hope to see you in the NFL. He gets in his car. He goes, I got a tea time. And he bolts out. I can't believe that just happened right
there. Did he have a cigarette when he
drove?
I
didn't know you were going.
I talked that story to Alex Smith, who was his quarterback in 49ers. I told him, he's like, I got that same coaching point. I remember that. Somebody gif Jamie. We're looking at the next segment.
I told you I didn't go to math.
We're weeks away from the NFL draft. Oh, yeah. Florida offensive lineman Osiris Torrance joins the breakfast table next. Them Gators, though. Oh, look out. There he is. We spot shadowed him. Look at the big man. He's coming right in here next. The scorekeeper wins a segment.
I'm pulling Every a Kyle time. Brandt next segment.
Okay.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to
be my game. That's my game.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
it's time for Next Gen Chats, where we bring in the next generation of NFL stars. And our next guest is consensus All-American offensive guard out of the University of Florida, who's ready to hear his name called next month in Kansas City. Please welcome Osiris Torrance.
Oh, Osiris!
What's happening?
Nothing much. How y'all doing?
We're great. Now we get to know you a little bit better. You finished your college career giving up 0 sacks in 47 starts for a couple of different quarterbacks. It's incredible. Did you know that you had this streak going into your final few games at Florida? And how much pride do you take in that?
I realized it like mid of the season, like after we played Georgia, that I didn't give up any sacks. So I took a lot of pride in it when trying to finish out my career without giving up any. And I was pretty glad that I was able to do that, and it was something I could accomplish to help boost my career and my draft stock, just to show how great of material offensive lineman I was.
You better believe it, dude. It's an incredible accomplishment. It's amazing. You had the Florida Pro Day yesterday, and you spoke to our colleague, Tom Pelissero. The two of you separated at birth. Afterwards, here's a little bit of that conversation, what you guys talked about.
Speaking of feet work, put your shoe up for a second. I want people to see, what size is that shoe right there?
Size 18.
Where do you get a size 18 shoe? I got to imagine even for a program like Florida, that's special.
You got to go on Google, then type in size 18 shoes for sale. They're just first ones that pop up, got to hurry up and get them before somebody else buy them.
You got to jump on those things like the concert tickets. I love it. The size 18. Yeah. Answer us this, Osiris. At what age did you have a size 18 shoe? At what point did you hit that?
When I was 18. It started when I was in high school. When I got to high school, my shoe size was a 16. Then it kind of just went with my age. So, I mean, it kind of just fluctuated with my age. I know I got to 17 and stayed at 17 for like 2 years. But my junior year, when I turned 18, it kind of went to 18 as it stood there.
Well, I'm happy that it stood there. You're not continuing to go up and up as you get older. That would not be fun to shop.
Let me get a 20 and a half, please.
But Osiris, you're a Louisiana native, and you stayed at home to play for Billy Napier at Louisiana Lafayette for your first three seasons. Then, obviously, when Napier took the Florida job, you followed him to Gainesville. What does Napier mean to you, and how has he prepared you for the next level, which you'll be entering next month?
He means a lot in the development of me as a person and as a football player on and off the field. And just the plan he had in place for me, like coming out of high school to UL, that I knew like how to develop the O-line. I just trusted and I knew it would be great for me. So when he got the job to Florida, I just knew like that same plan in the SEC with me in it. I just knew I could do like go there and be able to boost my career and my talents and just show the world how much success you can have in this program and how much success I've had in it. Just to show overall, like, the talent I had and the way he approached it and the way he treated me and, like, the confidence he instilled in me to be the player I am. I don't got nothing to do but just to thank him for it.
Osiris, you are a true O-lineman, my man. Loyal, following your coach. You're solid in protecting your quarterback. And, look, if I'm a quarterback in the NFL, maybe for the New York Jets or for the New York Giants, and I'm listening to this, the fact that you haven't given up a sack in your entire career, I want you on my team.
Yep.
So I'm curious. You come to New York City. We got plenty of shoe stores here in Manhattan. We could find you some 18s. What team you want to come for? You want to come to the Jets and possibly snap to Aaron Rodgers, or go to the Giants and snap to Daniel Jones?
If I had the choice, I'd probably say the Jets because Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch in the league today. And then just being able to play with a guy like that would just, I feel like it'll boost my career more than I could probably imagine. Just being around him and seeing greatness and seeing how he moves every day and just being a sponge in a program, being able to soak up all the knowledge I can from him. I feel like it'll help my career out for the better and help make my longevity even better in the league as I continue my career.
And the Jets have a higher draft pick, so if the
Talk
Jets
about
get
it.
You, you got a little bit more nice. Money in your pocket, so I'm rolling with the Jets as well. 13 picks ahead of the Giants.
Those are the facts. Those are the facts for Osiris. Osiris, you mentioned that you're trying to gain as much knowledge as possible as you enter and embark on your NFL career. I would like you to drop some knowledge on us right now. You are a Louisiana guy. Many people know what a shrimp boil might be, but you're big on the crawfish boil. Okay. Please enlighten us about what a crawfish boil entails. What are your key ingredients? Yep. What's the secret sauce?
It's a combination of a good amount of stuff. You got to have your lemons, your fruit, like your oranges and stuff like that to season a pot. Like we like to add the little citrus flavor to it, but you also got to have a little spice and stuff. You add your crab balls. Then you add your powdered crab ball, your lit crab ball. Then you add a few whole onions and some garlic. And those all the things to add the extra seasoning to it. But then you add some more spices at the end. That's just you add your little peppers and stuff like that. But really, it all comes down to, like, how long you let the crawfish actually sit in the pot with all the seasoning in it to let them soak it up to actually get the taste of it. But for me, I mean, that's probably my go-to meal when I do go back home. Just a nice bag of crawfish just to myself. Can't beat it.
Can't beat it.
No
Osiris,
sharing.
You are going to cook next season. Yes. And here's an idea for you, my friend. As a rookie in the NFL, I think wherever you're living, you have everyone over for a crawfish boil. Man, you're going to make some friends fast in your new locker room.
I guarantee.
Oh, yeah, that's my plan. That's on the list for me for sure.
Absolutely.
Let's go, baby.
Osiris, great to get to know you today. We appreciate you so much. Good luck the rest of the stretch. We can't wait to talk to you again here on Good Morning Football.
Enjoy the process.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I will. Appreciate y'all.
I like it. Yes.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.